This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Astros lose yesterday 3-1. We'll get to that in headlines coming up next. Big one today, 1:30 out at Minute Maid Park. What's been the biggest surprise 4 weeks in with the Houston Texans? I think this is a fairly easy answer, but I'm curious what you think the biggest surprise is so far for you.
Honestly, it's not the most glaring, except it has been in a couple of these games. For me, it's actually the special teams issues.
Really?
Yeah, the fact that
that's on my list,
you've
but
had
it wasn't
two
number
big
one.
Gaffes
yeah.
that have made a couple games closer than they needed to be.
Yes.
You had the blocked punt with the Colts. You had Steven Sims' muffed punt. And then I think I'm missing one in there somewhere along the way, too. So and who knows? I mean, Steven Sims.
Those are the big ones.
Steven Sims is an individual error. Well, remember, Des King had a muffed punt in the preseason.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were
trying to make the team.
But they're still on. He's on the practice squad right now.
Yeah.
I remember that the other day. I was like, well, elevate Des King and have him. At least he'll catch. And then I remember that he muffed one in the preseason.
Yeah.
So that's probably been the biggest surprise, given that so much of the conversation was about the new kickoff rules. And a lot of people have wondered, a lot of our listeners have brought this up, like maybe they just spent so much time working on that that some of the details fell by the wayside others. Beyond that, though, yeah, it's the penalties.
Yeah.
It's the way that the offensive line is underperformed in, like, not the traditional ways, but in the boneheaded ways.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. I was very keenly alert to, okay, how's Drew Scruggs going to be? How's Kenyon Green going to be? And that's been a mixed bag. But the penalties are by far the most glaring thing. And they're just, and it's, as D'Amico pointed out in his coach's show, it's not your run-of-the-mill, a hold here, defensively, an interference here or whatever. They're just boneheaded, avoidable errors.
Yeah, this was D'Amico. My answer would be the penalties for sure. Like, there's just the shocking rate of the penalties. You know, that there's so many. And that by the time they had a 12-penalty game and an 11-penalty game, I'm at the point now where I expect double-digit penalties in every game, despite what D'Amico says during the week. I don't believe, until I see otherwise, I don't believe that these things are getting corrected.
Right.
You know,
okay, so now this is the thing. We call them boneheaded penalties, but as I think Nick pointed out on the coach on the GM show,
yeah,
that, you know, at times it is, he's not just sticking up for the offensive linemen. And it's always ultimately the offensive line's fault. But the process pre-snap has been a bit clunky. And that includes the center, but also C.J. Stroud at times. And just when the rhythm and the timing of the offense gets screwed up pre-snap, mayhem ensues. So that's the part, I think, where it does come back to Bobby Slowick. It comes back to Chris Strausser. It comes back to the entire offensive line, obviously. But yeah, the clunkiness of that operation, when all we heard during training camp was, oh, we're able to work on next level stuff now.
Yeah.
Ooh, we got the basics nailed down. Now it's all about the extras. And I'd also say, I mean, should Bobby Slowick have been surprised that they're seeing so much cover two shell? Because he flat out said he was surprised by it. I feel like this is something they could have anticipated.
Yeah.
So how is it that this was such a surprise that when you've got really good wide receivers,
three dynamic wide receivers,
and you never just demonstrated an ability to run last year, that, oh wow, they're doing everything they can to take away those three top receivers.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Yeah.
Here was D'Amico on Sunday. This was right after the game on Sunday, talking about the mental penalties.
The penalties that bug me the most, and we have to get off of our tape and off of our team, is the mental penalties. That's the ones I can't stand and I can't go for it. Like, we have to play smart. If we want to be a good football team, you have to play the game smart. And we talk about, you know, we look at other teams around the league and we have meetings on these things, and guys just have to own up to it and be man enough to stand up and just play the game the right way. A lot of them just, you know, just bonehead penalties that are, you know, it's uncalled for, right? You don't need those. They're not helping us at all. When we still, we had positive things that happened to us, and we're going backwards. We're in field goal range, and we go backwards because of our own mistakes. So, again, for the, seem like I'm a broken record every time I stand up here, the Texans have to get out of the Texans' way for us to be a good team.
The broken record part is frustrating. I was doing my podcast yesterday, Seth, the mailbag, and by like the fourth Laramie Tunsil question, I'm like, I don't feel like talking about this anymore.
Right.
I just stopped and I said, I've got, you know, 20 emails here that I picked out from the mailbag, and individually I read each of them like, oh, that's a good one, and that's a good one, and that's a good one. And so there ends up being a lot of emails about penalties because it's a big topic. By like the fourth one, I'm like, penalties are a taboo topic. We are a penalty-free talk zone now. There's
nothing else you can say, and it's not that you're ignoring it or anything. It's that it's one of the most frustrating and infuriating things. And then people ask, well, what can you do to fix it? Honestly, a lot of it does just come back to simply coaching the basics. And this is how it always goes with offensive line. I remember with the Texans one year, we had an epidemic of false starting on the offensive line. And I talked to one of the offensive coaches about it because I was getting frustrated as a defensive lineman. These guys are they're false starting in practice, and then you got to do the repo. The period takes longer. I want to get inside and go to the cold tub.
Yeah.
And practice is going to be like 20 minutes too long because you guys suck so bad. Yeah. And it's always that balance. Oh, it was Chris Palmer. I ended up talking to the offensive coordinator about it. I was basically like, Chris, what the hell? Get this crap together. And, you know, he's like, you're in that constant battle of, all right, do we just go on one every time? Because then you give these crappy offensive linemen a chance for the defensive linemen to tee off on them.
Yep.
Once the D-line knows that you're going on one every time because you can't stay in your stance, it gets ugly. So, but usually it's always the balance between simplicity in complexity, and that when you're trying to do that, you can execute really, really well when you're doing just simple stuff and with a limited playbook, but then the defense figures you out. So how do you find that balance? And they have not found that balance right now, obviously.
Nope. Text in if you've got an answer. We're going, what's the biggest surprise 4 weeks in with the Houston Texans? 3-1, so that's good. They're leading the division. That's good. They're the 2 seed in the AFC right now. If the playoffs began today, they would be guaranteed 2 home playoff games. They've never been in that spot before. But it's 4 games in. Biggest surprise. So the penalties we hit, number 2 on my list was the special teams failure. So you nailed that. Block punt and muffed punt. Those are literally only 2 mistakes, but they are mistakes that kept 2 games. They put you in peril in 2 games.
Right.
You know, and so those are huge. And they just didn't do those before. You know, they had it buttoned down. I think one for me, it's a little, just kind of below the radar, but it happened in the last game, and I want to say it happened maybe in the Indianapolis game too. Some strange clock management at the end of the half for D'Amico. I thought that the end of game drive, the drive that CJ engineered to win the game against Jacksonville, might have been some of D'Amico's finest moments as a game manager since he became head coach of this team. Mm-hmm. I thought it was outstanding. The way they got quickly into the red zone. Once they were there and there's a minute and change left, they had some extra plays they could use to empty the satchel of timeouts that Jacksonville had. So now they know that, hey man, worst case, we're kicking a field goal going to overtime and they're not going to have any timeouts left. I thought D'Amico managed that really well. They end up scoring a touchdown and winning the game, which made it even better. The end of the half stuff, it's happened in a couple of games at least this year where he's gotten super conservative.
Yeah.
And in this particular game, he waited till there were 27 seconds left to even start using timeouts, and they left the field. And granted, they kicked a field goal, so they came away with points, but you walked off the field on second down deep in Jacksonville territory with a timeout still on the board.
Right.
So you mismanaged that. By definition, you mismanaged that.
I guess the biggest thing with that is, and I don't think there's an overall philosophy, I think, that you see out of Kyle Shanahan coaches of, I think, basically playing for a field goal at the end of the half.
And maybe getting the ball to start the second half has something to do with
that? Well, it does two things. Is that you you are. It's more achievable on average to go for to plan for kicking a field goal. Like to get, it's a lot easier to get down to the 35 or 45 yard line, wherever it is, than it is to actually punch it in.
Yeah.
The other thing is that then you take away the possession. Like they're playing to take away a possession from the other side.
They don't want to get the ball.
If they're going to be really aggressive and try to get a touchdown, there's more chance that you're going to turn over on downs and then they get another chance. You think about, there's about 12 possessions in an average NFL game for an offense. So you're taking away 8.3% of their potential possessions when you take away a possession. And I think that's the... D'Amico's going to get labeled as, well, classic defensive coach playing conservatively. I think it's more of an analytical approach, and it's going to be frustrating. But in close games, especially where you're not trying to overcome a huge deficit,
yeah.
I think that's what we're going to see out of D'Amico as long as he's the head coach.
Yeah, it was first and 20 at the Houston 46 with 53 seconds left, and they get a play to Dan. I don't want to go through the whole play-by-play. Yeah. They didn't use their first timeout until there was 27 seconds left in the half.
Yeah.
And they're at the Jacksonville 34.
Yeah.
So, I'm not about that. Like, I wish they – I mean, you got C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs. Like, you can attack. Your explanation is a fair one. I just don't like I don't like that philosophy. Yep. I'm philosophically opposed to it.
As far as the penalties go, this is the one thing to just add a little context to it with Laremy Tunsil, and this is why people want to talk about it so much. I know you know this, but I remember Meltzer tweeting. Meltzer's doing that thing where he's like, "What did everybody expect? This is who Laremy Tunsil is." No, it's not. He's committing penalties at four times his normal rate.
Right.
I mean, he's on pace for over 44 penalties right now.
That's absurd.
Yeah, I mean, it is really... like, last year, he had 11 total penalties.
Total
penalties. He's committing
penalties. Not 11 false starts.
Right,
just 11
total penalties.
Yeah.
Juwan Taylor led the league with 20.
Right.
So even by Juwan Taylor's standards of last year, Laremy is twice his pace.
Yeah.
So that's why it's... No, Laremy has not always been like this. This is four times worse than Laremy, who was already one of the worst guys in the league. I guess one of the best guys at collecting penalties.
Nobody's been like this.
He's been prolific.
Nobody's been like this.
Nobody, right. And so for him to extend it, and he didn't have any false starts, but he still had two.
Right.
Which is on... If it was just last week, he was on pace for 34 in a season.
That's
it's
right.
Just, it's been really, really, really bad.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Dad.
I think the last thing I had on my list here of surprises, and again, text in, and this kind of plays into my last one here, text message. The biggest mind-blowing surprise with our Texans is they don't seem to know who they are or what they want to do. Feels like, let's see if we can win this any way possible. And I think some of that may have to do with the offense not really having an identity so far. You know, like they want to run, they can't run. We got all these receivers and everybody's expecting fireworks. Where are the fireworks? Other than Nico Collins, right. Where are the fireworks? Well, and so the heat that Bobby Slowik is getting right now was not expected.
Well,
coming into the season.
Except that the big question was still going to be, can they engineer a run game? And because if they want to run this offense the way that they foresee it, it includes running the ball. And I think right now you can tell, okay, Cam Akers is a nice little piece to have, but he's certainly not a bell cow. You know, J.J. Taylor might add some flash. It'd be nice if he could catch the ball. Like, all these things, they're kind of nice. At the end of the day, Ogumba Wale, at the very least, allows them to have steady hands as a receiver and a guy that's going to try to bulldoze his way to 4 or 5 yards, which is like, just don't make it a negative of a down.
Yeah.
And it was in a very small sample size at the end of the game. They need Joe Mixon back. As much as You can talk about running back contracts all you want. There was a reason the 49ers traded for Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a reason they gave him the best running back contract in the league. So Joe Mixon's presence for the rest of the season is going to be a big deal.
It's imperative.
It's just 100% different when Joe Mixon is in there.
Well, they need him this weekend. Today's a big day. I feel like we say this every week, but today is a big injury report day as it pertains to Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they need him. And all the reports on Sunday when he was inactive had been, he's looking good for Buffalo. Mm-hmm. It was good to see him get back out on the practice field last week.
The other thing, too, is, you know, yes, teams are playing a lot of shell, a lot of zone versus them trying to tamp down the and we had the question yesterday about, at this point, does the Stephon Diggs trade look worth it? Mm-hmm. This is why the Stephon Diggs trade was worth it. Nico's getting a lot of that production because teams are playing zone. If they could focus solely on Nico, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing right now. But yep. Nico, as a big guy that looks like he should be like it's his physical domination that would be his calling card, he's gotten really smart at finding the soft spots
in
the
refined
coverage.
Yeah.
So that's why opposing fan bases will be like, of course he's just running through these zones. Of course you're going to, right. You're in this bind where you still have to worry about Stephon Diggs, even without Tank Dell on the field. So that, the victory last week alone, I would say, I'm not so sure. You know, it's easy to say I don't think they win that without Nico Collins, but I'm not so sure they win it with Nico Collins, but no Stephon Diggs.
That's a good way to put it. And Tank is something we'll be keeping an eye on today as well. Is Tank Dell back at practice? Text message, somebody expressing that they're surprised how invisible the tight ends have been so far this year.
Yeah, I think part of that is that they've been, they're using them in pass protection. Like, they're not getting out on routes quickly. And that last drive will be interesting because it wasn't hurry-up mode necessarily, but it felt a little bit more wide open. And if you're going against a team like the Jaguars that don't blitz a lot, you know who else doesn't blitz a lot? The Bills. The Bills do not blitz a lot at all. They play coverage, and they try to be really good at playing coverage, but they don't blitz a lot. That's been this offensive line, when they've just had to line up and block four, they're starting to get a better feel for some of the D-line games and everything. And they did well with that in the Jags game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think versus the Bills, at least, yeah, you might just let CJ cook a little bit more. Now Mixon will be back there, but they might let you know, CJ was empty in empty backfield formations on that last drive
at
times. So split Joe Mixon out, he becomes a receiving threat, and then you can start hitting some of the quick hitters. As long as teams aren't blitzing and destroying you before even the quick routes can get open.
All right, let's get to headlines. Astros, big day today, man. Season on the line today. We'll get to the Texans. Big news for the Texans' opponent this weekend, the Buffalo Bills, that I think helps out the Houston Texans. And another wide receiver on the market, reportedly. We'll get to all that coming up next in headlines. Stay there.